Friends, this past week, I was filling in a form, and I was asked on that form a strange question, one which I've never been asked before to the best of my knowledge, but one that I thought I must write that down and share that with the good people of Eden Grove. The question was this: do you seek to engage in terrorist activities, espionage, sabotage, or genocide? And as I read that question, I thought, who on earth would ever answer positively to that? Yes, I plan to come and do these things. I'm coming for the weekend and I plan a bit of espionage in between a bit of shopping for the kids. Who would answer yes to that question? And even if your plan was to come and engage in a wee bit of sabotage or terrorist activities, would you be honest about it? Or would you keep your cards close to your chest and keep your own counsel? Probably you are like me and you thought, well, mind your own business. That is not something I'm going to share with you. And the reason I tell you that this morning is not so you know what forms I've been filling in or the jokes and the laughs I've had at this silly sort of question. But today we come before God who keeps his counsel. Today we come before a God who knows what it is that he is going to do, and he is going to do it. This year we have considered who God is. We have spent time thinking about what we call the doctrine of God. Who is he? What is he? What is he about? And we have heard some amazing things. We started in January with this truth that God is incomprehensible. He is beyond us. We will never know him fully. We cannot master him. We cannot better him. We also heard this year that his name is Yahweh. He is the great I am. We've considered how he passes on some of his attributes to us and he keeps others for himself, attributes that he does not share. We've heard even just in this past week that our God is three yet one. One God, three persons, all equal. We've heard a lot about our great and our mighty God. And today, by way of encouragement, we preach this sermon to remind you that our God is sovereign, that our God is in control, that the counsel and the decrees of God will stand. You see, the Lord does not need to send us a questionnaire to figure out what our plans are. The Lord does not need to sit and wait and see how human history is going to pan out before he makes his plans known. The Lord has decreed from the very beginning how everything is going to be and everything that will come to pass. And it is so. My friends, this is what we mean when we talk about the counsel of God or the decrees of God. Our God is sovereign. And if our God has decided that the sky is blue, then you best believe that the sky is going to be blue. If the Lord has decided that the world will come to an end in 100 years from this day, then you best believe that it is going to come to an end 100 years from this day. The counsel and the decrees of God will stand. They cannot be changed. We cannot mess with them. We cannot put them and delay them by acting stupidly or acting better. That's not how it works. Our God alone is sovereign. Our God alone and his plans will stand. And today it is this that we declare. In Job, in this wonderful book, which at times is a difficult read. It's a long book. It's a book that's difficult to fully comprehend. We come to the very end of the book and some wonderful chapters where the Lord speaks this sovereignty into the life of Job. And if you know the story, of course, Job has had it rough. He has gone through incredibly dark and difficult days. And his helpers, his friends come and they try to change him and help him and make him see what's going on. And every one of them gets it wrong. And when we come to Job chapter 38, the Lord answers him and all these questions that he has. And he says to Job in verse 2, "Who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge?" Who is this, in other words, says the Lord, who comes before me and yet does not have a clue? Who is this that comes demanding answers yet does not know and does not understand the fullness and the glory and the majesty of who I am and what I have done? And my friends, this is the reality for every single one of us. We are human, every single one. We are finite in our ways. We do not know what today will bring, never mind tomorrow or the day after. And so when Job and his friends are trying to figure out the ways of this incomprehensible God, they meet the Lord in these final chapters, and he says, really? You're going to question me? You're going to question the God who has done all of these things? And what follows in this chapter and in the next are some wonderful truths. The Lord says to Job in verse 4, where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? And friends, when we read these verses, you can almost picture Job shrinking back. You can almost imagine Job losing that little bit of questioning spirit, shrinking back to a place where he remembers, I am the creature and not the creator. And friends, today it is always good for every single one of us to remember that and to lose our self-importance and our arrogance. It is always good for us to remember that we are not God and we are not in control. That truth kills us because we want to be in control. We want the plan for the future. We want to be men and women who say, well, by the time I'm 65, I will be lying on a beach in Barbados. And yet, probably when we are 65, we'll be stacking shells still in Iceland. That's what it is to be human. We can't plan, we can't predict, and nothing is guaranteed. And yet, into that truth, we worship a God who is sovereign. We worship a God who declares and it comes to pass. Friends, in Psalm 33, we read this. The counsel of the Lord stands forever. The plans of his heart to all generations. In Isaiah 55 and verse 11, we read this. So shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. And in Luke chapter 12, we hear what Jesus says. He says, friends, I tell you, do not fear those who kill the body and after that have nothing more they can do. But I will warn you whom to fear. Fear him who after he is killed has authority to cast into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 pennies, and not one of them is forgotten before God? Yet even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, for you are worth more than many sparrows. Friends, here we see the sovereignty of God. Here we see that the plans of man might work forward, but the Lord is sovereign over everyone. Here we see that the best laid plans of humanity might perish and fall, but the counsel of the Lord will stand forever. Here we see all our big and bold words, which may or may not come to pass, but the word of the Lord does not return to him void, and it accomplishes the very thing that he has purposed for it. My brothers and sisters, here is our God. And so as we hear the Lord Jesus Christ making it clear to us that the very hairs on your head are numbered, here is our God, sovereign, almighty, in all his ways, declaring the end from the beginning and the beginning from the end. Here is our God. And this should thrill our hearts today, because even though we cannot predict what is to come, even though we cannot decide whether we agreed to an Irish Language Act or we didn't, even though we don't know if Stormont is ever coming back, what we know that is in every day of our lives and in every day of the generations to come, the Lord is sovereign. And if the Lord was nasty and wicked and malevolent, then that would be something to fear. But he is good. Our God is sovereign and our God is good. And our God is for those who have faith in Jesus Christ our Lord. Friends, this doctrine is of incredible use to the Church of Jesus Christ. The knowledge of this, that our God has decreed and made everything in his plan from the very beginning, should delight our souls. Because we know that whatever happens, our God remains on the throne. Our confession makes this absolutely clear. And it states 3 things that I want to share with you this morning just by way of understanding this great doctrine. See, our confession mirrors what the Bible says, and it states that our God has ordained everything. that everything that has come to pass, every single moment in history, the very fact that you're sitting here this morning, thinking that, amazing. The very fact that you're here this morning is ordained and decreed by the hand of God. Friends, amazing. Some of us, as the old saying goes, could not organize a bun fight in a bakery. Some of us could not fight our way out of a paper bag, but our God, from the beginning, has ordained everything that has ever come to pass. Friends, allow that to sink in and humble yourself before him. Job and his friends thought that they had all the answers, and they are left realizing a point where they say, this is God, him and him alone. I am not the creator. I was not there when the Lord shut in the seas and declared its boundaries. I don't have a clue about his majestic plan, but we know that whatever comes our way is ordained by him. And my friends, I am sorry to say that is the good days and that is the bad days. Everything comes under the hand of God. Everything has been put in place by him. And that should cause us great comfort, but also should cause us to tremble. But what our confession also states is that even though our God has ordained everything that has come to pass, he is not the author of sin. See, we could listen to this doctrine today and say, well, sin is God's fault. He knew it, and certainly he did. And he allowed it, and certainly he did. So therefore, it must be his fault. The Westminster Divines went to great lengths to make it clear that our Lord is not the author of sin. We see that in James, where he writes in chapter 1, let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. And yet God is sovereign over evil, and yet God uses the plans of evil men to bring about good. We see that in the book of Genesis. We know the great story and the great verse. They planned this for evil, but God meant it for good. Friends, there is a mystery here, and it is majestic in its ways, and it is something that should cause us to bend the knee and to quieten our mouths, because our God has ordained everything, yet he is not the author of sin. Friends, here is our God. And this year, John and I have tried to preach in our own imperfect way and our own imperfect style something of the majesty and glory of this God. And we truly hope that as we have worked our way through these things, you don't just allow it to go one ear and out the other, or bored, or roll your eyes and think, ah, get on to some good sermons. Friends, we preach this to show you who it is we worship. And the next time that we walk into this building to come before the King, I pray that you will realize that it is before the King that you are coming. I pray that when you come into this building, you will realize that we are gathering as the visible church before Yahweh. When we come here, we are coming to worship the one God, yet three, all equal, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. My friends, this is our God. And if this doctrine does not cause us to tremble, yet rejoice, then maybe we need to wake up a little bit. Our God has ordained everything, but he is not the author of sin. And our God is sovereign. Yet, my friends, you are absolutely responsible. You see, some of us might say, well, if this is true, and if the counsel of God stands forever, and if he has predestined everything that will ever come to be, and if he is sovereign even over evil, then how can he hold my sins against me? Surely I can point to him in the last day and say, well, who am I to stand against the sovereign God? I was only doing what you ordained for me to do. But my friends, if that is our attitude, then we are absolutely in for quite a shock when the last day comes. See, the Lord is sovereign, yet ultimately you are responsible. Our choices come from our sin-stained free will. And when I use that term, I don't say that you will do good to please God and you're free to do bad to please Satan. That's not how it works. In the fall, because Adam is our head, Every part of us is sinful, including our will. And we freely will every single day sin and evil against the Lord. Friends, you are a sinner today, not because God says you're a sinner and it's my fault. You are a sinner because you are of Adam. You are a sinner because you were born in sin and you are dead in sin. And every day you freely choose with your sin-stained will to sin. Now, our God is sovereign over your ways. And our God is sovereign over perhaps the plans that you have for wicked. But please, my friends, do not look to him and say, this is all your fault. Realize today that you will stand before this sovereign, almighty, and holy God. Realize today that you will not have a word to say in your defense. And today, instead of fleeing from him, flee to him. See, if our God is sovereign, then he sees everything. If our God is sovereign, then he knows everything. If our God is sovereign, then the very fact that you take up a comfy little seat in Eden Grove this morning, well, that is not by chance, my friends. It is not an accident that you are here today. Some of you, as I look out, I know your faces. Some of you, I don't. And here's the thing, I do not know which of you know Christ and which of you do not. Some of you profess, some of you don't. But the Lord knows your soul. The Lord knows its condition. And today, before our sovereign God, you have no excuse. He is sovereign, yet you are responsible for your sin. And you are responsible for what you do with Christ. So friends, today the sovereign God meets with you here, not by accident, but by design. And the sovereign God calls upon you to repent and to believe the gospel. What a truth. And please don't think later that you'll eat and drink and maybe that will do something. My friends, you eat and drink condemnation upon yourself if you do not believe. So hear the words of the sovereign God, and today be saved. See, our God has ordained everything, but he is not the author of sin, and our God is sovereign, and you are responsible. And the last wee point that I want to make from our confession is that our Lord uses second causes to bring about his purposes. What do I mean by that? Well, I mean this. Our God is the primary mover, if you like. Everything is decreed by him. He keeps his word. He keeps his counsel. His plans will come to fruition. But sometimes he uses second causes to bring those about. A wonderful example of this is how it was the Lord's will to crush Jesus. And yet he does that by using the desires of sinful men. It was the Lord's will to send his son to die at Calvary, but he does it by handing him over to the plans and the purposes of sinful men. The Lord uses second causes. The Lord uses this world and the people in it to bring about his grand plan. And my friends, that should cause us great hope, because certainly when we look at the news and we think, well, why is this happening? Why has there been yet another shooting in a school in America? Why has there been yet another life lost in the streets of Belfast to scumbag terrorists? Friends, I cannot answer those questions. But what I know is it is the Lord's will to rule over those evil men and to bring about his purposes to bear, even in a sinful and blood-soaked land like ours. Friends, this comforts me, that our God's counsel will stand, that he has ordained everything, but is not the author of sin, that he is sovereign and you are responsible, and that he uses second causes to bring about his purposes, that at no point is this world ever beyond his control. And so in response to these things, we declare with the psalmist, our God is in the heavens and he does all that he pleases. See, we often like to think that, don't we, that we are the boss. We're the boss of the house. We're the boss of work. We're the boss of Ballinhinch. Maybe you've got those grand ideas about yourself. But today, there is only one King. Our God is in the heavens, and he does all that he please. So friends, what do we do with this? This is theology and this is doctrine, but it is for you. So what do we do with this as the sun shines in on our faces at the end of February this year? What do we do with this sermon that it is by no accident that you have heard preached? Firstly, I would ask you, in the midst of your questions and in the midst of your doubts, who are we to talk back to God? Romans 9, Paul says this, "You will say to me, why does God still find fault? For who can resist his will? But who are you, man, to answer back to God? Will what is molded say to its molder, why have you made me like this? Has the potter no right over the clay to make out of the same lump a vessel for honorable use and another for dishonorable use?" Friends, today I do not belittle you in your questioning. I do not seek to pat you on the head and tell you it will be all right in the morning. But today, if you are questioning and wondering and thinking that perhaps God has forsaken you, that's simply not the case. Our God is sovereign. Our God is for you. And he will use the heartbreak and the sadness and the depression and the questions and the tiny faith that you think is barely holding on, he will use it for your good. My brothers and sisters, trust him. Trust him in his sovereignty and his purposes for you. And today, the second use is that we are to understand that God is sovereign and that he is good. Never doubt him in that, my friend. Never doubt him. He is sovereign and he is good. He is working out all things for the good who love Christ. He will use all of those dark days to bring a brighter morning. He will use the broken relationships for your good. He will be with you to the end of the age in all his glory and majesty and sovereignty. This sovereign, almighty God who speaks and it comes to pass is for you and he is good. Friends, trust him. He is not out to get you. He is not this evil, vindictive presence in your life waiting for you to slip up and then he's going to hammer you into the dirt. He is for you. This sovereign, almighty God is for the children of promise. And thirdly, folks, do not fear or tremble at the darkness of this day, because our sovereign God is not overcome by the darkness. Any moment you turn on the TV this week, there will be bad news. You even think the Winter Olympics are going well, and Japan beat the poor Scottish girls who are playing curling for Great Britain. I'm glad the curling's over, because those Scottish girls can play curling, but they screech like banshees. Friends, whatever darkness comes your way this week, understand that the sovereign God is not surprised by it. We are not open theists who believe that God watches the news every day and then responds to what's happened. That's not how it works. Instead, today and tomorrow and all your days have been decreed and planned out from before the foundation of the world. Friends, rejoice in that truth. Even in the darkness, the light shines and is not overcome. And finally, friends, the final use for this. We can rest today knowing that God's will be done. We've prayed that, haven't we, in the Lord's Prayer? I pray indeed that we mean it. Lord, your will be done. And that isn't a prayer that we offer and cross our fingers. That isn't a prayer that we offer and then touch some wood. Today we know and understand that the Lord speaks and his word does not return unto him void. Friends, why do you resist him? Why do you pretend that he is insignificant? He is the only one who is in control. The only sovereign Lord. And Christians, fire your wee bellies up. Because the very fact that you are called a Christian today is not because you're any better than the guy down the street in Ballinahinch. It is because our sovereign Lord has decreed it. He has elected you unto salvation. And this wonderful doctrine should not produce in you arrogance, but humility and awe and joy. Why do you resist him, friends? Because today, if you're not a Christian, then know that our Lord is sovereign, that he is good, and this day is no accident. So hear the gospel, that Christ died for sinners, and respond to it in repentance and faith. The sovereign God has spoken. Call upon him while you may. Amen. And we thank God today for his word.